In the morning, woken by the two gunshots, I heard the rising flurry of ululations that followed and knew immediately that I would go to the wedding, no matter what my mother said or did. I understood that the two cows to be slaughtered for the feast had collapsed upon the swirling red dust, that an old man would be stalking toward them to plunge a knife into the quivering warmth of their necks, that soon the whole yard, only 5 compounds away, would be swarming with joyous people. My friends would be there, and I wanted to be there too. In my cousin Deborah's room, which I shared, I lay in my bed, listening to my mother's feet thumping up and down the passage, forcing the whole household awake. Doors slammed in her wake. In the kitchen, dishes clattered, hot cooking oil splattered, and the aroma of frying potatoes rose. In the bathroom, where my parents conversed, water streamed into the plastic tub my mother used for the patient's bath, her voice weary and my father's distorted by the toothpaste foaming his mouth. Water slapped at the sides of the tub as Mama lugged it into the patient's room, formerly mine, on the other side of the wall I was tapping my foot against. As I did every morning, I imagined I could smell the Dettol disinfectant Mama eddied into the water with her fingers. I imagined the steam fogging up the mirror I had bought for myself and stuck up on the wall, warping my books and posters, my photos and my magazines. I did not want to think about my mother's hands bathing the patient, her sister, my aunt. So I thought about the wedding. I knew that the men would be draining the cows of their gushing blood, peeling off the skins to reveal the fatty meat underneath, slicing the bellies open and offering up enamel bowls to receive the tumble of glistening intestines. I knew that the men would be kicking away the intrepid dogs slinking toward the meat and at the same time playfully jostling with the women about which cuts would go to the men for the cecois and which to the women for the beef stew. I knew that a congregation of aproned women would already be working at the fire at the back of the yard, boiling beetroots and potatoes, peeling and slicing and cubing cabbages and carrots for the salads for the coming crowds. I knew that the women would soon break into their songs, celebratory and caustic. The cakes are delicious, but marriage is difficult. We are leaving. You stay and see for yourself. And that they would dance and ululate and whirl around the bride. Come out, come out, come and see. This child is as beautiful as a colored. As she walked on the carpet, which had been laid out so her white dress would not touch the red dust of the yard, I knew that almost all the people in our ward, Butalaote, would be at the wedding. Everybody, except the very old, the new mothers, the newly grieving, and the sick. It was 3 weeks since Deborah and I had finished our Form 2 exams, and a month since the patient had been brought home from the hospital. After completing my exams in October, I dreamt of doing things, of going away while my mother and father were at work, of visiting my friends in their wards, and wasting the luxury of the day with our talks about boys and such. But since the patient had arrived, it seemed my mother did not even want me to leave the house. In my and Deborah's room, I stayed in bed listening to my father complain about how much time my mother was taking, about Mabuikanyo, the day has begun, about Mabuikanyo, what will people say? About Mabuikanyo, people will think we are scared of work. Mama was a big woman, with a lot of energy and a miraculous capacity to complete half of her daily chores before the rest of the household awoke. Before the patient came into our house, when Mama woke Deborah and me up at 5:30 a.m., talking her old stories about a woman needing to be up before the sun, she would already have a pot of soft porridge and a kettle of 5 roses on the stove. On weekends, she left early for funerals, and often by the time Deborah and I awoke, she would be back, her shoes kicked off, sighing over her tea, poring over the funeral program, an addition to the pile she kept in her bedroom. Before, she was just like the other mothers. She shouted orders and called instructions for chores, but since the patient had been brought to stay with us, Mama was different. She still rose early, but sometimes she would put on a pot of water and forget to switch the stove on. Sometimes she forgot the name of the woman she had hired to take care of the patient during weekdays. Sometimes she called home from the furniture shop she worked for and forgot why she had called, or called home when really she wanted to call the district council office to talk to my father. On weekends, when she had to go for a funeral or a wedding, she came into our room, apologetic and full of bribery. I knew she would soon come.